If you want to go ahead and get us started. Oh, I can't hear you for some reason.
Can you hear me now?
Sure can, yeah.
It wants to pick the wrong microphone sometimes for some reason. All right. So good morning, everyone. And I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10:01.
Thanks, Esther. Okay, I'll go ahead and do a roll call. Esther Curry.
Here.
Janet Claire.
Here.
Mary Cordes.
Here.
Sarah Isaacs.
Here.
April Jensen. I thought I saw her.
I think she's having connectivity issues. She keeps popping in and out.
Okay. Okay, we'll come back to her because I did see her name. Susan McKinney?
Here.
Jennifer Slack?
Here.
Paula Treader? Sandy West?
Here.
Diane Yeoman? And April Jensen, are you able to connect? Or you can use chat if you can't get the microphone. Okay, I do see she's having technical difficulties. Can you hear us okay, April?
Good at figuring out audio on a Zoom.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go ahead and move to the approval of minutes from our last meeting, December 8th, 2022. Has everybody had a chance to take a look at those?
I will move to accept them as written.
Okay, I got Susan for the motion. Do I have a second?
I second, Sarah Isaacs.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. All right, Esther Curry?
Yes,
the student one.
Janet Claire?
I don't think I was at that meeting. Does it list if I was or not?
Let me go to that. No, that's okay. Give me just a sec.
I don't want to vote for something
this morning, and I don't remember, Janet.
It says that she was present.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Then yeah, I read them, but I just couldn't remember.
Okay. Mary Cordes?
Yes.
Sarah Isaacs?
Yes.
April Jensen? And you can type yes if you can hear us, April.
She just dropped again.
She dropped again. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Susan McKinney?
Yes.
Jennifer Slack?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
so can't hear anything.
Oh, April said okay. She can't hear anything.
So it's defaulting.
Okay, I'm just not going to be able to talk. Got it.
I'm going to just type in here. April, I don't know if you can hear us, but we can hear you. So maybe she can hear us now. Okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to the share update. So I have a few notes. Of course, the biggest is the share vote that was completed last week. We'll probably be sending out a communications today just with the results, but I'm glad to announce that all of the proposals did move forward, including the barcoder refresher training and the, the policy update for the policy update for the problem resolution, and then the form that is just some a new form for certification. We also had the catalogers vote on changing the author is the main entry versus the adapter, which will be in a later entry. So that moved forward. Aspen was moved forward for all libraries that want it. And we also had the governance changes that also was approved. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. So one of the big topics is Aspen Discovery. When I checked yesterday, we had over 70 participants that are interested in Aspen. So I'm really excited to see that. I know that we had been talking about concern between not wanting to raise member fees versus making sure everybody has access to the latest technology. Sarah, I think you might have been the ones that commented that you really didn't want it. You didn't want to pay the extra fees. That wasn't you.
Oh,
I feel like one of our special. Oh, okay. I feel like one of our specials says, please don't make us do that. And I know Miranda on the Finance and Policy Committee has already signed up as well. So I might go back to those comments and just, because I feel like there were one or two people, and I remember very specifically one of our special libraries said, please don't make us do this because we don't want to increase our fees. So I will check that. So also on our share update, I do want to just let you know we have some in-person training coming up for barcoding. So there's going to be one on February 28th in Chatham. We are looking at doing more of that, although there will still be lots of barcoding sessions via virtual sessions, and the barcoding refresher will launch in March. We also have not gotten very much feedback in regards to the Find Free Libraries. I know that that was released after our last meeting. And so we have had one library that had a concern about that not being followed. I think it's just going to take some time as people get used to it. And then we are in the process of launching an affiliate expansion for schools. Next week, I'll be going to a conference called IdeaCon, and that's the Illinois Digital Educators Conference. And so that is an opportunity that we have a passive display, and then we're going to go talk to a lot of the vendors, but we will have information about joining SHARE. We're going to have a big sign, you know, says join the 226 other schools in Central and Southern Illinois. So we're hoping that we're going to start getting some promotion to not just our librarians or our school library staff, but also the technology directors and principals and superintendents, because they need that message. I think our library staff know how SHARE could benefit the library, but they're not always in control of their budget. So that is something I'm super excited about. And then, of course, we also have the automatic material handler. I know you probably saw the discussion on the listserv for directors regarding barcode placement. And so at this time, the AMH ad hoc working group, or I guess one or the other working group, ad hoc group, they are reviewing that. I know at one point Susan had said that our recommendation at the time was, you know, go ahead and start it now. And then by the time we actually implement something like that, everybody would be ready. And so I know that our most recent recommendation is they're looking at it. So if you haven't started switching barcodes, maybe go ahead and wait until they have an official recommendation. But as of right now, there was questions if SHARE had an official recommendation. And I think that we always said that we would follow any suggestions from IHLS delivery. So, and that's still, I think, probably our stance on that, because I don't think that we want to get into the where of the barcodes again. So that's what I have for the SHARE update. Did I see Dina? Are you in this meeting, Dina? The reason I ask is I wanted to...
I'm multitasking.
There has been a change, and we are going to be talking about that with the Finance and Policy Committee regarding staff permissions, but Dina made a change to schools, and we've had some questions and concerns about that. So I was just going to let her tell you about the school library permissions and how we are better limiting those.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Just due to kind of like a clerical error, school permissions were not entered correctly. When I say that, that means schools, schools had the ability to pull up, you know, all the public library records as well. Excuse me. And many of the school libraries use, you know, just parent volunteers, students, even as young as junior high students. So they then would have the ability to pull up, oh, let me see what my mom has checked out at the public library. So what we've done is we have updated or corrected, I should say, all school staff library to where they cannot see the patrons on the public side of things. They can't pull up their cards or see what their principal has checked out at the public library. They only have access to what is at their school. Now, we do have some schools that have multiple buildings, O'Fallon schools being one. So we can change the permissions a little bit to add other schools. So if I'm going to use Decatur schools as an example, they have, I think there's 14 or 15 buildings. So we could set their permissions to where employees at all of the schools can then see the patrons at all of their other schools. If that makes sense at all. And I think Jennifer Slack was on here. So like O'Fallon schools, there's multiple schools. We can set employees to have access to all other students in the district.
Yeah, I a question on that. I think you fixed Tammy's. I noticed that when I was trying to, so sometimes, you know, we send materials out or, and sometimes I might have to bill somebody and say, well, where are they at? And not necessarily in my school. But I looked at something the other day for that and it wouldn't let me see that patron.
Yeah, the public library won't let you pull up the patron, the patron's record, things like that, just for a privacy issue.
Right. So how do we, I guess when I have to bill somebody or like if somebody, something comes back, like, okay, there's a thing in share that says, if you get a book in damage, you know, fill out that little paperwork. Who's the last borrower? It will. I can't tell. You know.
You should still. I did some testing. You should be able to still see who it was. You just can't access their record. Like okay. It will. It'll pop up, but then it's like grayed out. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I couldn't see it the other day.
Yeah. And then if you try to like click on what they had checked out or what they owe, you get a pop-up message about for overriding things.
Right.
And we're still tweaking and working on those permissions because they had been set up so long ago. Well, in the advancement of Polaris, you know, now we're to 7.3 and some of these we can do more things than what the original permissions were. So we're still tweaking and fine tuning those a little bit. And
we do have a million parent volunteers that use the volunteer.
Yeah. So we're still working on it. And I think, Sandra, refresh my memory. Did we come up with a final, a written, we wrote the policy, but we haven't approved it yet or.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I have it pulled up here. This is what we're going to take to finance and policy that it just says Polaris permissions are intended for member library staff due to privacy concerns. We do understand that some libraries rely on volunteers or student workers and may be issued a login pending share approval with limited permissions. Library Board of Trustee members will not be issued a login unless they are a regular volunteer. This will be reviewed by share staff on a case-by-case basis. So that gives us a little bit more control over what permissions and what access different libraries and library staff have. And that just outlines, so if we do have a question, well, my library board of trustees said that they should have a login. Well, we do have this policy that says that it is intended only for staff.
Tina, I do have a kind of sideways related question. When we first started, most of the legacy systems, we were able to mask patrons of other types. So public libraries only saw public libraries, schools only saw schools. And Polaris didn't do that. Are you saying that now it can do that?
It can, yeah.
Okay, because when we first started, it didn't. And so that's probably why they were set up that way. Because I know, I think if libraries knew that was available, it might be something that we'd be interested in general to address, because it really does get hard. I know my staff, when they're looking up somebody and they get, you know, they try and block them from the internet. And it's like, but the charges at Red Light College. And it's like, well, no, we don't block for that, because we don't block, you know, the different types. And, you know, so if that's something that generally can be done now, I think libraries might be interested in returning to that, because it is a nice thing when you're looking up patrons and trying to figure out if they're blocked here or there, getting new cards and everything.
Yeah. Oh, I completely understand. Just, you know, my former circulation brain comes out in that aspect, but it is definitely something to think about, you know, just kind of doing the same thing for public libraries. I talked to Cassandra about this. Permissions they're very finicky. They're very sensitive. And the circulation, just basic circulation permissions is, I think I counted it, I think it's like 70 different lines for, you know, for approve, deny, whatever. Yeah. And sadly, there's no way to copy and paste those. So it's manually typing in all this stuff. So I don't really want to set a precedent of creating this like one-off permission groups for like one employee. So it would be for, you know, like for everyone on the staff or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so because we have Sarah and Sandy here, I know Jennifer, you're seeing that change take effect, but we hadn't yet looked at specials or academics. Would this be something that you would like to have your records excluded from the public libraries? I know that that has been a concern for, you know, that you can't use a special library card at a public, and sometimes there has been some confusion on that.
Right. Yeah, I don't, because we don't actually, our special library is special in that we don't actually have, our patrons don't have cards. So I am fine with the permissions or whatever the way they are, but on behalf of other special libraries, I could see it go either way.
Okay.
I'm a bit confused by something Esther said. So if a patron owes a lot of money to a school or a special, you still let them check out? Because the school and the special are still a member of the system.
That is only for publics, Susan. If they owed $1 million to their school library, we should not be restricting their access to the public library.
Okay.
Yeah, it's and another one is, let's say that they moved from like Muscoota schools, and then now they're at O'Fallon. That's another case where they have materials at the other school. They should not be restricted of checking out at their new school. They get just a fresh start.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I do.
Seems
kind of weird. So, okay.
Yeah. It's only from the public to public side. So because you've got that reciprocal borrowing, that you can say, well, you owe money to your home library, so we're not going to check out to you. And that's the only case. But a school to public, you should not use the school's account to make decisions for a public.
Well, we normally don't look at the school's account. I'll admit, my staff does not look up people by names, because when we first all became the one big library system, there were multiple people with the same name, and another public library looked up the person by name and picked my patron. And I got chewed out when that patron had overdue, because my patron had never been to that library.
Right.
Which is why I always make them show their cards. So that way I make sure I'm checking on the right card.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And just to piggyback off Sarah, you don't have to make any changes just because we're academics. We should, as our staff members should also be properly checking barcodes and wanding the patron in that way. So that's a staff side training, but hopefully at some point, at least for us, we're going to in the future look for some intergovernmental checks and balances, because we have got some schools in the district that don't have libraries that we would like to help to support with an intergovernmental agreement.
Okay.
It's a shame we can't somehow track from school to school, because we have a constant exodus of books from kids who leave in the middle of the night and go to the next school. You know, it's just thousands of dollars of books every year. They just, you know, and it's not the kids' fault. Parents right. leave in the middle of the night, but.
Yeah, that's hard for schools too, because I know most school library budgets are, if you're lucky enough to have a library budget, but if you do have one, it's usually pretty small.
Yeah.
So that can be a hit.
And that's something that you could potentially ask your, I don't know, your principal, whoever does registration for mid-year families, is put a flyer in that packet that says, if you have books from your old school, we'll take them and send them back, or route them the right way, you know.
Right. That's a good
idea. Perfect world.
Okay. Are there any other questions on that change? Okay. So we'll go ahead and move on to our new business. I am so sorry. I put this on the agenda because somebody had asked about it, of if we should have a new books time frame, and I don't remember who asked about it. So if it was somebody here on the committee, anybody? Is this something that we would like to standardize?
So you're like asking whether or not we want to make a policy to say any new material library would have to come in would be like a 90-day or... I'm going to go back and say library autonomy on that one. And it's just okay. Something that we should not just even consider.
Okay.
I agree with Sandy. Just trying to remember who I was talking. Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Different libraries, you know, it depends on your patrons. And I don't think we should be telling them how long they keep a book new.
Okay. All right. So then, unless anybody disagrees, then we will have no changes on that topic. Do we have any other new business?
I'm just going to point out, unless you've made the change, that when we discussed, Cassandra, the recurring checkouts was really new business.
Right. Yeah, I put it in the wrong place on the agenda. And so we actually have had a member wanting to discuss reoccurring checkout abuses. And so that actually is new business, if we could go ahead and bump it to earlier in the agenda, if that's okay with everyone. Okay, I'm hearing no complaints. So one of our members reached out regarding checkout abuses. And so one of the things that, of course, if you're overriding a renewal, that's obviously an ILL violation. However, this situation, it was one of the last items, the only items in the database. And so what would happen is the family would check out the item, renew it, and I don't remember how many renewals. Then they would take it back to the library, check it in, place it on hold, check it right back out. So it was never actually coming back to the home library. And so that is not, for our purposes, there's not a policy against doing that. However, I know there's a lot of libraries that do not do that. It was becoming a situation where they would have it months on end. And I believe that the person who brought this to the committee is here today. Do you want to, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you'd like to talk about it, you're more than welcome to.
Sure, just give me a second. Hi, thanks. This is Bobby Perryman from Vespasian Warner in Clinton. Thank you for having my item on the agenda. This is more than one library that has done this, and they have had items for months and months. I am not exaggerating. One movie in particular, Reptar Returns, we're the only library that has it. This family had from like September to February. And that's not the first time they've done it with that particular movie. And it's $6 on Amazon, just buy it. But I ran into other libraries doing the same thing, where patron comes back to library, returns it, put on hold, they immediately check it out again, and they will have it for months. And I'm finding it extremely frustrating that this is happening, but I know they're not technically violating any rules, but they're really, to me, abusing our generosity in sharing the items. So I didn't know if there was anything that could be done to address this. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Bobby. Have you contacted the library, Bobby? I'm just curious about that.
Yes, I have. And I get varied responses. One of them that I contacted recently was, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll get this back to you right away. Another one that I contacted recently said, I will have my CERC staff keep an eye out for the item. So I was less than thrilled with that specific answer.
And I wonder, because in the world of academics, when it comes to interlibrary loaning, like articles, we can only request a certain number. So when the request gets maxed out on an article, it's our responsibility that we have to buy it, that particular issue, because we have so many requests. So I wonder if, is this a scenario that you're the only library that has it? Is there a policy that we could come up with saying if you're the only holder of that item and the uses went to a maximum allotment for one particular situation, that maybe it's a recommendation for that own the other library, the borrowing library, to purchase said copy for their own patrons? If it be, you know what I'm saying? Because that way you're kind of utilizing that tool of, well, it's a recommendation because you've borrowed it so many times and after so long, you should make that purchase yourself kind of scenario. That's something that we could kind of see that would work, because in the academic world, that's the way it works. If you borrow so many, so especially in the periodical settings, which is different than a physical copy of an actual DVD, but I wonder if there's some sort of wording that we can kind of put together that would be a recommendation saying, if your library has borrowed X library's item 7 times, maybe you need to buy your own copy for your patrons.
The one drawback to that being a library that has a lot of unique items myself, might be that, you know, that's the beauty of our system, is true. That not, you know, if Bobby's library wants to be the dinosaur capital of the world, and they have this great movie on raptors, I mean, even though it's borrowed, I mean, so I think it comes back to abusing the generosity. So I think that, I don't know, I would hate to have a law or, you know, a rule built in that if something, because I mean, I'm more than happy to have people, you know, have the oppositional defiant disorder book, you know, checked out as much as they want. But it might not be the same situation for everybody, I guess is what I'm saying.
Maybe it's a case by case issue that you just kind of have to look at your item and say, hey, now I'm going to reach out to these libraries that have kind of had the same patrons use it and say, could we make a recommendation to you that you purchase that for your own library, a copy, so that our patrons can have back our copy. And it didn't have to be like a policy, maybe just a recommendation if you feel like you're getting contact. Because I feel like the other end of the pool is those libraries that poor Bobby's having to call all the time are going to get frustrated and say, I'm not borrowing her material, which we don't ever want to see. We want people to use items all the time.
What about if after so many holds, it has to go back to the owning library? So even though that they're doing that, you know, the checking out or putting it on hold and then checking it back out, it has to go back after so long type of thing. So, you know, have a pop-up on that book that says it can't go back out. It has to come home. It has to be at home for so long.
One of my concerns is that was actually what I was thinking as well, April, is that if we could have a scenario where just, and so what I know that my local library does is, because I had this happen and I said, I'm out of renewals, can I place it on hold? And they said, yes. And so they checked it in, it went back to the owning library, and then I was put in the queue. Now, of course, it's different with Bobby's situation of having the only copy, but they said that it had to go back. it wasn't like I can check out. And it wasn't like there were even holds, you know, but it wasn't their copy, so they were sending it home. And I think that that maybe should be the expectation. My biggest concern is that works if the staff is involved, but if they've already placed a hold on that book before they brought it back, it's going to automatically pop for a checkout. So I think that that's going to be a staff training issue, but I think we could certainly discuss saying that after the renewals, no, it cannot be checked out to that patron again. It needs to go home. What's going to happen, Bobby, is they're going to put it right back on hold. So I like, Sandy, I like your suggestion of if you see that, if you're talking to the patron, the frontline staff should make a recommendation for purchase, especially if it's the last item.
Is there an option for Bobby to submit a bill to the library? Because does Bobby really know it's not lost?
So that's what I did. And then it magically came back.
Yeah. Well, and Janet, in this situation, for the one that I saw the history of, they mm-hmm. were, well, I can only assume it was being checked back in. So was it in hand? I can't say that with 100% surety, but it wasn't like they were overriding renewals. It was technically checked back in and then just checked right back out.
For all we know, because I've had patrons do this, and this is where I crack up when people say patrons aren't savvy enough to know different due dates. The patrons throw it in the book drop over the weekend. We check it in on Monday and it pops a hold. We don't know who returned it to pop the hold. I've had a patron do that. It was one of my own books, thankfully, but and I was like, didn't that person just have that book? And I looked up the history. But patrons are savvy enough to figure out that they throw it in the outside book drop. We don't know who returned it.
Right.
Without looking at every single book. I have a problem with this, with schools hanging on to items forever and ever, amen, and not able to get it back from their students. And my biggest complaint is I understand the school staff are overworked, but at least dropping me an email saying, got your message, investigating, but not hearing where I'm having to constantly call repeatedly saying, do you have any updates? Can you at least tell me if you think you're going to get the book back? You know, just send me an email. Communicate, please.
Is there a kind of report that we could have created, if it's not already created, that would let us know if a book has been with one particular patron by record ID for however long? Something along those lines to let us know this person's had it since, you know, August, and this is how many renewals they've had or anything like that.
Because it's usually in a system tracked by last checkout date. I can't off the top of my head think of anything, but maybe Dina she might have another idea of something I'm not thinking about. But it's usually once it's checked in again, it's not, that would kind of throw the report.
I think it would. Because the system sees it, you know, as just a circulation. For renewals, we might be able to. I'm not the reports wizard. We have a reports genius on staff. I'd have to think about this one.
Yeah. Just a thought. I love those reports, and Terry has made a couple that have been fabulous for me. So
she's a goddess.
There's a report on long overdues or long checkouts. It's something like that that's in the utilities under reports and notices. Because that's something I have a staff member runs that and runs the in transits that have been forever, that kind of thing that we run weekly.
Is that going to really be the same thing since they're, I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, I was just thinking if there was a quick way that we could track this person's had it. And Bobby, I apologize if we're one of the people who are abusing that.
You have been that I've noticed, so thank you.
Other tools in reports and notices, there's two different reports. It's, one is called items out to patrons from other libraries. And then there's patrons with items checked out from other libraries, so you could check on your own patrons. So I don't know if that would help. And then there's items lost and returned but still charged. So there's some things under the tools that might help.
Thank you.
So, Bobby, Susan had some ideas for reports, but when you found those, was it from a report? Because I'm just wondering if it was still the last checkout for those.
So here's how I found them, and this happened last year too. At the end, in December, I do our top 10 checked out items for social media. And what happened is it popped up, Reptar Returns was our most checked out DVD. That's really weird. It's an old obscure movie. And that's, I looked into it, was like, oh, this is why it has the most circulations, because it's been checked out to the same patron over and over again for months. So this happened last year too. So that's how I found it and how I found the others that I was having the same problems with. So no, that wasn't a report. That was me just running my top circ and thinking this looks weird.
Yeah.
When I was at the last public library I worked at, we had this issue, and it tended to be those items that were more like young adult related, you know, the popular fiction. And I think there were some graphic novels. You know, doing our research, because I can find out all sorts of details on people. And sadly, it was a staff member at another local public library that was, you know, kind of abusing the system, if you will. So it's, you know, not always, you know, the super, I call them super patrons, but they can always figure out a way around everything. But sadly, sometimes it's library staff members that are doing this as well. So it's, you know, this is just, I think, one of those, it's always going to be that uphill battle, no matter what we do. I used to tell staff at the public library, I'm like, we are letting basically complete strangers come in and check out stacks of stuff, and we let them take them home. You know, we hope we get them back. You may not get them back, but it's just, you know, it's a battle that every library faces.
I totally get that. I guess my request is just, I can have something to point to when I call these directors and say, can I have my item back? I can point to share policy states, you cannot do this, basically. Same thing with renewals. And since I've been able to point to the renewals overrides, that has not happened nearly as much. And I'm happy to share items. I love sharing items. I don't like the abuse.
Right. I think it might be, I mean, if we're hesitant to create, or I don't know, create a policy that's like, that's hard to enforce and track because you don't necessarily know, we could say it is the recommendation. I always like it when we do that, because then at least it draws attention to the issue on a larger scale. So we could always say, you know, It is our, the circulation standards recommendation that items be returned to their owning library following, you know, two holds or whatever. I don't know, whatever we want to say.
I would even say, instead of even just a recommendation, I would almost say if we had a procedure, and I don't know exactly what we would call this procedure, maybe just recurring checkouts, that the item should be returned to the home library after their renewals have been, you know, expired is not the right term, but they should not be automatically checked back out again. And I know from what, Susan, what you were saying, that you might not know, but that way frontline staff, if they could be trained to say, you're not supposed to do that, you're supposed to return it to the home library, that maybe we could come up with some type of procedure for that.
Can I ask a question that may not be true, but is there a chance that these library directors that you're speaking with, Bobby, just don't know what the right thing to do is?
Potentially, but okay. I know the Reptar Returns Library, they're a larger library, and I would assume that they should know better. I think they're actually a larger library than we are.
Okay. Because as you and I have seen, there's a lot of
absolutely, and
things that,
that
aren't known out there.
But I would assume that this one should have known better.
Okay.
And if nothing else, if they don't send it back, at least call that library and talk to them and say, you know, I have a patron that needs it an extra 2 weeks. Is it okay?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm very happy to work with people who call and talk to me.
Right. Just communicate. Yeah.
I would think, and Cassandra, tell me if I'm mistaken, we do have a definition page in our policy procedural kind of circulation things that you would probably want to make sure that you define what a recurring checkout is so that everybody is aware this is what this looks like.
Right. Because on the renewing items policy, it does say that they may override the blocks if it's owned by their library and they might try to renew items, but this isn't truly a renewal. There is one part that says borrowing library should request permission if maximum renewals are reached and additional time is needed, but that's again a renewal, not just a recurring checkout. So I think we need a separate policy that addresses this kind of in between where, oh, they're not doing a renewal, they're just checking it back out. So they're checking it in, checking it back out, that it needs to go back to its home library. And I really like that idea. At that point, if you're seeing that, it might be a suggestion to purchase on behalf of your patron. I see Laura has a hand up. Laura, do you want to chime in?
Hi. I had a question more for Cassandra on this. I just wondered if it was possible, is there something on the back end that it would be like if the patron has returned it, but they also already have a hold on it, that it just automatically kind of goes to the home library, back to the home library, if it's the same patron code, I guess you'd say, same patron ID. Is there something like that Polaris could do? Because I can see this as the scenario where Cassandra mentioned earlier, where the staff did not place the hold. They're just checking it in. If I get something from our Dropbox, I don't know necessarily who's had it. I'm just checking it in and it prints me a slip to go on hold for someone. I'm not going to know because you're not physically on that patron's account. They're not necessarily handing it directly to you and waiting to get it back from you. Does that make sense?
So yeah, and I've actually wondered about that myself, even just for holds that weren't picked up. And then like all of a sudden I get the item back and then it goes right back out to the same person. And so I always wondered if that would, you know, put a wrinkle in that.
I don't know of a way, but I'm not the expert on those back-end settings. I'm not sure, Dina, if you know of something. That's okay. Yeah. But we can certainly investigate that.
Yeah, because I know we've had patrons who've done this and our staff haven't realized. And then I've gotten a call from somebody and then I've showed them on the record where, oh, well, no, you can see this person has basically done what Bobby has said. She's, you know, they've checked out the item, they've maxed out the renewals, and then they turned it in and it went right back to them. And it's, unless you know what you're looking for, it is hard to see.
Yeah. Yeah, Laura, we're in the same boat. That happens with us and it happens, we have branches. So it's like when they've done something at one branch, then they go to the other branch and do it. And it's really difficult to keep track of it. So we're with you.
Well, and Bobby, if it's us, please let me know. We'll take care of it. But yeah, it's Reptar Returns is an awesome flick. I'm going to say that right now. The Rugrats. Can't beat it.
$6 on Amazon. You want to add it to your collection.
I get this movie now.
Well, my husband said just buy it and send it to the library at this point.
I wonder with this, if the, again, a technology solution might be possible. One of the other concerns is not just the borrowing library, but the supplying library. There's also a concern, Bobby, that, you know, okay, well, we say we're going to send it back, but they've placed a hold in the interim after they talk to the staff member. You're going to check it in. It's going to go right back out to them. Because there's nothing, I mean, that's like a staff training thing, but it's not a patrons, I don't know that we can tell patrons that they can't place holds. So I think that would be a concern too.
And I get that.
Yeah. I really like, we had talked about a procedure or a recommendation. I like both of those ideas. Would we like to put something in the next share newsletter about this situation? Like, hey, we've noticed that there have been some abuses with reoccurring checkouts. Please make sure to send it home. And if it's something that's been checked out multiple times, consider buying a copy. Do you think that that would be an effective solution? And Bobby, maybe if you can kind of keep an eye on it and see, just let us know if you're still experiencing trouble with that.
Yes, I can. And again, thank you so much for bringing this to the committee. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And if we put that in the newsletter or whatever, we might hear from other people that it's a bigger issue.
Right.
So I'd say let's bring up the point and, you know, offer options for discussion or input, request feedback, and then see what we hear.
And then maybe Dina can also see if there's some type of Polaris solution in the interim as well.
I can do that.
I'm
going to say there probably isn't a setting for that, but there, I could be wrong and I have been wrong before, but I will definitely look into it for sure.
Yeah.
Okay I'm going to throw a wrench in the works here. Just a hypothetical. I remember back when we first started, we were trying to save how long items travel between libraries and stuff. And that's when we started doing that. You can make the list so that you got the stuff from your closer libraries versus somebody way down south sending me a book that would take a week to get here at back then. And when somebody close by might have it. What about the fact that if it's an older item, there are no holds, it's not been checked out in a long time. As long as we check with the owning library to make sure it's okay to go ahead and check it out again, if they've maxed out the renewals, like checking in and checking it out, is that okay? Because sometimes it's like waiting for the item to travel back there and then the patron going, well, I need the book still, can I have it back? And they put it on hold.
Yeah, and I think that would really follow our existing renewal procedure that maybe we ask that they don't check it out again. Maybe they ask that they call for a renewal instead. I think that's certainly possible.
Okay.
That way, maybe the staff member, the frontline staff member might catch that.
I agree with Bobby that if somebody's keeping it for months, and I don't want somebody keeping my book for months, but I know sometimes you get the book, you're really, really needing it, and then your life falls apart and you can't get it read in the amount of time you need to read it. Mm-hmm. And because that seems to happen to me whenever it's a book I really, really want to read. We talk about being about patron service, and if I'm not talking about the abusers, I'm talking about somebody who maybe needs one extra renewal. So I'm just thinking about our patrons here.
Well, and again, at any point, if a library wants to call me and ask me, and this has happened before, hey, can we have this a little bit longer? I am happy to accommodate them.
All right.
But please at least pay me the courtesy of calling me.
That I agree completely. So, and I think I've already said to you, Bobby, privately, when you first sent the email out about this kind of stuff, that if I'm one of the offenders, please let me know so I can thank that patron. So, because again, there's people who work here certain days and people who work other days. So it may have been one staff member who checked out a day they're here and the person came back in, or it came in and the book dropped and another person's dealing with the hold. So it can get missed even in small libraries because we don't work every day.
And I think that if we address it, So I think if we address it that way, that actually would fall under our renewing items policy. We could add to that policy, and I think it would be a minor enough change that we could make that as just a minor change via committee, that borrowing libraries should request permission from the loaning library if maximum renewals are reached and additional time is needed. Just add a second sentence that the item should not be placed on hold and checked out again. It should be an additional renewal, so it can be tracked a little bit more easily. Do we want to go that route?
That sounds good. And then we don't have to deal with a whole nother policy. It just adds on to the current policy.
And just kind of closes that loop.
Or would it be like inappropriate to say it is an abuse of the system to check the item back in and immediately check it out? I mean, the whole point of having two renewals for one item, you know, is so by circumnavigating, so they are abusing the system.
Yeah, I could certainly put that out. When we put it out to the newsletter, I will certainly like put the background in that it is an abuse. It should be another renewal, not a hold and check out. And I think that would address at least the frontline staff issues. Maybe not the, you know, where it's been out and then they put it in the drop box and then they checked it right back out the next day. So with that, if we are going to make that as a minor change to our policy, I think, again, I can add that second part that they should ask for an additional renewal, and then that second part, not check in and then check it right back out. I'll think of a way to say that nicely. And then maybe even make that suggestion of maybe purchase an additional copy.
And if we're going to put something in the newsletter, because I know I had been a victim of this, not all support staff, you know, that those frontline workers see the newsletter. They're not subscribed to it for whatever reason. So, you know, maybe we can make mention of, you know, like to please inform your staff of this, or, you know, however we want to word it, but just so that the information gets shared with everybody on the staff who checks out books. Because, you know, like Susan mentioned, you've got, especially with part-time employees, they may be there 2 days a week and, you know, they may not see this stuff, but, if, you know, just to be sure to share what we're putting out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But that also, Bobby, if you did see it, you could point to the renewing items policy and say, hey, there is a policy against this.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so would somebody like to make a motion that we add to the renewing items policy to clarify that it should not be a recurring checkout, but instead an additional renewal?
So moved. This is Sarah Isaacs.
And this Sarah. Is Sandy, and I will second that.
Okay, thanks, Sandy. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Esther Curry?
Yes.
Janet Claire?
Yes.
Mary Cordes?
Yes.
Sarah Isaacs?
Yes.
April Jensen?
Yes.
Susan McKinney?
Yes.
Jennifer Slack?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
Okay, so moved. Okay, thank you all for that. Good discussion. So we will get that updated and put it out in the newsletter with a little bit of background. And so, Bobby, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. I'm certain you're not the only library has been experiencing this and is frustrated by it. So thank you for bringing it up for us to discuss.
Real quick, Cassie, Paula and Diane were able to join the meeting.
Oh, okay.
So if we want to include them in the roll call vote.
Oh, thank you, Jace.
Yep.
Paula, did you happen to see... Oh, I see a couple of notes here, guys. Sorry. Paula and Diane, did you hear enough of this conversation? Would you like to vote on this?
Yes, and I vote yes.
Okay. Okay, I have Paula for yes.
I vote yes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you both. Okay. All right. And so do we have any other old business? Okay, hearing none.
Sorry, Cassie, we're on new business.
Oh, that's right. No, so moving on to old business, do we have any other old business? Okay, hearing...
this is a semantic thing, Cassie.
Yeah. According to Robert's rules, technically old business should be before new business. It's unfinished business or old business.
Okay, I'll so certainly check our...
Okay, I just...
We moved that when we needed to seat new members. We didn't want to wait to do that later in the meeting. So I think that's why we moved it, but we'll check our Robert's Rules of Orders. So I'll be happy to do that.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. And then do we have any public comment? Okay, and then I do have an announcement. Teresa Beck has given notice that she's no longer able to serve on this committee. She's taken a different job, and so she doesn't have the opportunity to do that. And so we are looking for a new volunteer for this committee. We have three people that have volunteered. And so Esther, I think that we need to take a look at those candidates. And I think in the past, what we've done, if this is okay with everybody in the committee, is just let Esther decide who would be the best fit based on the current makeup of the committee. Does that work for everyone?
Okay. Absolutely. That's fine with me.
Yeah. How do we know who the three are, or does that matter?
Well, I do have their names if you would like me to do that. Give you all the information.
It was just a question.
I just wasn't sure.
I didn't know how you do it.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if we wanted to put it out in an open meeting based on who volunteers and who actually gets the position.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, well, I can send it out to everybody. And if you all have any input, want to send it to Esther, and then we'll just let Esther make that final call. Do you think that would work?
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay, I just had someone asking me just last week if there were any openings on the committee. That's why I was asking the question, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So are any other announcements? Okay. And then our next meeting will be Thursday, April 13th at 10 a.m. All right, so Esther, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you.
All right, no further business. We are adjourned at 10:58.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate
it. Have a good day.
All right,
thanks, everybody.
Thank you.